Good morning, everyone.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, and life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cause. We stand forgiven at the cross. What a love, what a cause. We stand forgiven at the cross.
Thank you, Vicky. You know, that device gives us the ability to do an Easter or Christmas cantata. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what it has done for each one of us, what he has done in offering himself up to be our substitute, to give himself for us, that he might give his life to us. And this is the life that we live in the flesh, which we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, may we tune in this morning by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, gives us concentration, that we might hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches, that we would not just hear with our ear, but with our heart, and that we would confess with our mouth that we agree with you in every respect with regard to what your word so clearly and plainly says. We thank you for all these things. Bless the word of God in our hearing to our understanding today, Father, which you always are available to do if we only need it or want it. And we need it desperately, Father. For it's in Christ's name that we pray and commit this time to you. He's our great God and Savior. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, Governed by Peace, Guided by Truth. Sunday, February 21st, 2016. Our passage is Colossians 3:15. And we'll make some progress there. We're actually making rapid progress in Colossians, but not too rapid. We hit all the high points, and we have a few more to go. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule as an umpire in your hearts, which indeed you were called, to which you indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here, gratitude or thanksgiving is replete throughout the entire epistle. He said it five times so far in these three short chapters. Then he says, let the word of Christ, we have the peace of Christ, now let the word of Christ, plousios, richly, enoikeo, indwell you with all wisdom, your heart, that is. See, peace ruling in the heart is the result of the word ruling in the heart, the word copiously filling the heart. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, we must all be ministers. Yes, we are. Church isn't a spiritual hospital. No, it's a gathering of ministers. Well, you know, we do provide the information and the treatment which heals. But then again, after a while, you got to be a minister. You're gifted to that for that purpose, to that end, so that you might edify others. And you guys do a magnificent job of that. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. Not necessarily outwardly, but in your hearts. You can sing outwardly. Who sings when they're happy? I sing all the time when I'm happy. And I'm happy most of the time, so I'm always singing. Or whistling while I work. Or just nervously doing so. Because it becomes a habit. I say, why do you whistle all the time? Well, it's just something I do. Don't ask me why. And why do you whistle the same short phrase of music over and over and over again? Some people, that really gets them. gets under their skin. But once again, that's just what I am. I'm irritating. I just, after a while, you start to do it on purpose because you know it gets them. You go, they go, stop it. No, I will not. I'm happy. So, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, with a view to his glory, to honoring him supremely, as we all must, as we all should. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, there it is again, through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Axios. It is appropriate to do so. Husbands, love your wives and do not be picross, picky, embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And we want to do everything to please the Lord, don't we? Do all in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God the Father, giving thanks through him. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Give them grace. Love them. Give them grace. That doesn't mean you withhold discipline, because discipline is grace. They need a little more grace today in terms of discipline. Because if you love somebody, you go to the trouble of disciplining them. Because nobody wants to do that. It's too much work. So you put them on Ritalin and you say they have ADD. That's what you do. And then you just let the medicine take care of them, which it does not do. All it does is warp their minds, impede their normal development, and turn them into welfare recipients eventually. Oh, no, they get disability insurance. That's not welfare, is it? Yeah, it is, because they didn't need it in the first place. They just need some love, loving discipline, grace. It solves a lot of problems. So, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Be overly critical of a child. Give them grace space so that they might be able to breathe and grow and prosper. Employees, in all things, obey those who are your bosses on earth. That's what it means, literally. Not slaves and masters as such. Not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart. Notice this phrase, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily with all of your strength. Use all of your physical ability, all of your mental capacity, and pray over it so that the Lord will give that to you. Maximize your effort. Give you efficiency and excellence in all that you do. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done. God's not judging you, but the consequences are natural to wrongdoing. And that without partiality, you can count on it. As I learned once again recently, Perhaps you have too. So let's go back to the beginning here. He says, the peace, this is the literal translation, the peace, Irene, of the Christ. The peace of the Christ, or the peace of Christ. P-E-A-C-E. This peace is not world peace. And, you know, if you're interviewed after you win a beauty contest, which doesn't seem likely for any of us, well, maybe a few of you, but certainly not me and Dan. It's going to happen. Don't say, I just want to have world peace. Ain't coming till the Prince peace comes. The peace is not world peace. It's Christ's peace. Who said, in this world you will have trouble. John 16:33. Who also said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I just have peace coming over me right now. Wonderful thing. I am so happy and peaceful. I don't have any reason to be, but I am. It reminds me of one of my favorite passages. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah. Sometimes you really need that, don't you? So, he says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. There'll be no world peace or peace in the Middle East. Yeah, the people are trying to make peace in the Middle East. Good luck. The more you try, the worse it gets. Until the Prince of Peace destroys his enemies and establishes, it won't be peaceful at first because he's going to slay them all. Can be violent and establishes his kingdom of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Romans 15:33 says, now the God of peace be with you all. Peace is dependent upon who's filling you up. You have to be guided by peace by having your heart copiously indwelt by the word. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Paul closes almost every epistle this way. Because peace is the result of grace. Great grace. The favor of God. The truth of God's word. The truth about grace. Grace and truth which came by Jesus Christ. In Romans 16:20, likewise, the God of peace must crush, or will soon crush Satan, you trust him, under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Philippians 4:9. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. That's genuine spirituality. Follow Paul as he follows Christ. And the God of peace will certainly be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. Without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. That's, you'll have peace then for sure. When he raises you up from the dead. So, back to our text. He says, the peace of Christ be ruled or governed by it. It's brabuo, which means to be reigned over or governed or umpired by. Peace, it's an imperative, it's a command. So what do? Well, you just make yourself available for peace. Be at peace with all men. as far as it depends on you. You can't make peace where someone else will not acquiesce to peace, but you be a peaceful person. Because blessed are the peacemakers, right? For they shall be called the sons of the God of all peace. We just read about from the scriptures. Be ruled, be governed by the peace of Christ. Then he says, in the heart, in your heart, in your heart, in your hearts, he's speaking to everyone. Unto which you were called, summoned, subpoenaed in one body. See, one body is at peace, functioning in an orderly fashion, not distraught or discontent with any function, without competition, without striving or straining. It's effortless, carefree, tranquil, unconcerned function of each part benefiting the rest in special ability by God's design. That's how it works. Shouldn't be any infighting in the church, ever, or competition between churches, unless it's softball. Isn't that in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible. The church is not for softball. It's for hardball. Don't you love hardball? Hard. But it's fair. Always just. Judgment begins at the house of God, always. See, if you preach the true message of the gospel, the word of righteousness to believers, you'll never have to worry about adding on to the church. You won't. People don't want that. They want to have a nice little Disney world. And that's what you get at the big ones, the mega churches. Oh, they have gyms and swimming pools. Softball leagues. No hardball leagues, softball leagues. And all kinds of activities for the children. Youth groups, a ball. You can have a ball at youth group. You go skiing and on different excursions, but you don't learn the word of God. They'll get everybody going on Facebook, and they'll make little things, little witnessing tools that you wear around your neck and nobody uses, and they're irrelevant because God is the the Holy Spirit's a sovereign executive in evangelism, and they wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if they tripped over them in most instances. Soma hagios, not soma hagios, pneuma hagios, right, John? That's John's word all week long is, he goes, pneuma hagios. Dost thou knowest Greek? Dost thou speakest Greek? Just that one. So anyway, but guess what? Sometimes the Lord, he does amazing things in people's lives that you would never guess. He would never come up with. And that's how he works, in mysterious ways, under the surface. And the word of God has tremendous impact in the lives of people who only open their hearts to hear from him. So, and let that word copiously indwell them. Unto which you were summoned, called in one body. See, not anxious, ever, upset, or afraid to breathe, to swallow, sneeze, yawn, burp. Think, speak, and act in accordance with the orders issued by the head. That's what the body does. It has its natural and effortless function, most of which is involuntary. That's the whole idea, because it comes from the nature of the body. And the nature of the body is a new nature. The sinless new nature, the new creation. Then he says, and be grateful. Always be grateful. Eucharistos. Be grateful. Then he says, Genestai, be grateful, be or become by factors within that come from without, that is from God, come from God. And so, gratitude is important. Why? It's the fertile ground in which peace grows abundantly and overcomes every difficulty in life. Be ever so grateful, continually recognizing and appreciating the grace of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things be grateful. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for each and every one of you. Every believer is to be grateful for everything. I finally learned about a year or so ago, 2 years ago, what it means to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That means you thank God for things that were very unpleasant in your life. That's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You shouldn't be thankful for that. Oh yeah, those are the best things that ever happened to me. That's the grace of God. That happened, that he caught me up short, that I suffered in this way. Because until you suffer in the flesh, you're not done with sin. But he cures you of certain things, certain sins. And it's discipline, it's kindness that you're afflicted. So you thank him for it. Thank him for all the problems, the troubles, the trials, and the temptations that you have and overcome by his grace. You can thank him for everything. You know, he's a perfect God with a perfect plan for imperfect man. And you need him every hour. And he's in everything that you experience. Everything. The election will be determined by God, and Jesus Christ controls human history, the history of our nation. So don't get all upset, flustered, and depressed over the political debacle in our country. That doesn't mean you go along with it, because you can't, but you can trust God and be at peace. No matter who's the president of the United States or the one world ruler that's coming, you won't be here for that. So anyway, be ever so grateful, continually recognizing and appreciating the grace of God, and you'll have what's called great peace in Isaiah 26:3. Great peace have they that love your word, and nothing shall offend them. Doesn't matter what happens. It's all from God, and you'll be thankful for it, grateful for it, and you'll live in peace. Or better yet, Psalm 119:165, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, who's occupied with Jesus Christ. You get perfect peace when you're occupied with the Prince of Peace, with the peace of God, the God of peace, Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we all want? That's what I want. This is what we should have, certainly can have, and will have by the word of God, richly filling the void, if there is one, and spilling over into every conversation, every conflict, contact, consequence, circumstance, allowed and even ordained by God, the God of peace. Moreover, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. That's what he shall be called. He shall be called Extraordinary Strategist or Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. That's him, Jesus Christ. How can you tell if you have the peace of Christ? Well, when all said and done, if you're left with peace, even under the most difficult circumstances. I can get really angry, but underlying that anger is peace. I can get angry and not sin. So can you. That's why you're commanded to be angry and don't sin. because you can have that peace that underlies. Because you're not too upset about anything. Not really. How can you be with all that you've been given, with all that you have, with God living inside of you? It's not right to be upset and without peace, because he left you with peace. So, be at peace with all men as far as it depends on you. Hold your peace, he says in the scripture. That's a big one. That means bite your tongue, because you're not a peacemaker if you agitate with words or insult with words or retaliate with words. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. He says, don't take vengeance. That's my domain. You're not qualified to take vengeance, because what you'll do is you'll tear up some of the wheat with the tares, so to speak. So, hold your peace, Exodus 14:14, Nehemiah 8:11, and Job 13:5, and verse 13. 13:5 and 13:13. See, if you don't have something gracious to say, say nothing and let peace rule by holding back that which disrupts, corrupts, and interrupts peace as the norm of your life. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word, corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but only that which is a word, such a word as is good for building up according to the need of the moment, so that it will minister grace to those who hear. Do you do that? Do I? I should. More than I do now, and so should you. More than you do now. I'm ruled by peace when I'm filled with Christ, that is, with his word and his spirit. Live by this rule, and peace will rule in your heart. Do you realize how much peace is disrupted by unnecessary, inappropriate, or harsh and inflammatory words? A whole bunch. James 3:13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his chaste behavior, his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, soulish, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, not rotten peaches, the pleasant fruit of righteousness. And unwavering, it doesn't change, it doesn't vacillate, fluctuate, and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Be a peacemaker, and you'll be like God your Father. And he says, let the peace of Christ, then he says, let the word of Christ, it's literally the word, the logos of the Christ, be indwelt by it, all of you, richly and copiously, like a treasure chest, overflowing with treasure, overflowing with rare and precious treasures. Have you ever heard someone espouse something so rare and precious that it caused you to be in awe, to fall on your face, and weep tears of joy or repentance? It reminds me of some of Judy's messages in the ladies' study that did both to me. And some of Terry's spontaneous statements that slay me where I stand. and leave me with peace. Like the sayings of Jesus. Can you imagine him speaking to you and you just say, oh, Lord, that's what eternity is going to be about. You'll be falling on your face, weeping tears of joy. You won't have to weep tears of repentance then, just tears of joy. If it moves you that much, then just let the tear flow. Don't be ashamed to really appreciate his word. Not around others. They won't understand. But privately before him. Because he looks to the one who has a contrite spirit, trembles at his word. Overflowing with rare and precious treasures in all wisdom. Since wisdom is the most important thing, according to Proverbs 4:7, then with all you're getting, get it. And you'll have peace. Sophia, wisdom. Take her out on a date. Have a lifelong relationship with her. Sophia's wisdom. That means wisdom. I'm not talking about go find a woman named Sophia and have a lifelong tryst with her. Don't do that. Then he says, instructing and exhorting, encouraging and admonishing one another. How do we do that? See, this is the reason that we meet together. The only reason for which the church exists, not for softball, not for entertainment, not for friendships or fellowship first, but afterwards, sure. After you've met the obligation and the responsibility of functional Christianity in the church and being a body part, functional body part, a functional son of God in the context of the local assembly. The church is not a hospital for spiritually sick people, but a training center. It's a college. It's a finishing school. It is a filling station, fueling station, gourmet restaurant, a gymnasium, a wood shop, a workshop. You know, a wood shop because you get to get sanded. All the rough edges come off. A jewelry store. So you wear them gems around, gems of truth in the soul, shine much more brightly than physical gems. Some of you are gems, and some of you are diamonds in the rough. Me being the first among them. Not gems, diamonds in the rough. Matthew 18:20. Where two or three have gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst. That's what the church is for. Ephesians 3:10. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. This is what you don't see. To the rulers and authorities in Oranios in the heavenlies. Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every single one of you, all of us together, complete, finished product in Christ. Then he says, singing to yourselves. That's where you should sing, to yourselves. So much is made of praise and worship. It's will worship. Sorry. Has no content. Just jacks up the emotions. And God is not satisfied or pleased with that. As though he likes form over content. So sing to yourselves with psalms, hymns, and by spiritual songs. With gratitude. Gratitude is a motivation to sing. You're so grateful, you just sing. Singing, making a melody to the Lord in your hearts. Remember, your heart's governed by peace and filled with truth. Guided by it into true worship. that is in your heart, singing, making a melody in your hearts to God. Each one in the church is a minister, a priest, an ambassador, and a warrior, training to reign. That's what we're here for. We're training to reign. Well, I didn't know that's what the church is for. Well, now you do. So get to work. Get to grace. God looks upon the heart, the thoughts and intentions of the soul. What motivates and activates the expression, and not attending to the form, but rather to the content. That's 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel's anointing the brothers, or he went to the house of Jesse, and all the brothers passed in review, and he said, not this one, not this one, not this one. Don't you have another son? Yeah, he's out tending the sheep. Meditating on the word of God day and night, as Terry said outside, killing a lion and a bear with his bare hands by the power of God, and preparing to rule over the nation. That's what you're here for. You've been faithful in a little. We could give you 10 cities to rule over. You don't think that's true? The Bible's replete with it. By the end of the message, you'll see how important that is. God looks upon the heart, the thoughts and intentions of the soul, what motivates and activates the expression, and not attending to the form, but rather to the content. All that is acceptable to God is heartfelt, uncoerced, and overflowing, having filled and spilled, having thrilled, and having the soil tilled, and freely willed. Has to be freely willed. Has to be voluntary. All else is form without power. There's enough of that going around. You don't need to participate in that at all. It's ritual without reality. If someone says, sing, and you sing, or worship, and you raise your hands, or pray, and you fold your hands, and do so without the inner desired function that makes one's expression acceptable to God, it's will worship. If you do so spontaneously in response to awe, personal impression or reflection or gratitude, it's both presentable and acceptable to God as spirit and truth worship. Today in the church, the emphasis is on praise and worship, which is an empty container lacking the essential elements without regard for acceptability in the sight of God. And since it is not the overflow of faith, hope, or love, you might as well lift up your hands, raise your voice, and shout, look at me! And while others may do so, and consider you a spiritual person if you do that, God doesn't hear or see any of it, and you might as well be cheering at the high school football game for your child or someone you know, or for yourself vicariously, as you live through other people. Don't do that. It has no place in the church of Jesus Christ. It's reality, spirit, truth, worship. True worship is quiet and contemplative. It's private and personal. It is only that which enters the heart and fills it to overflowing that is genuine and acceptable. And like everything else that is acceptable to God, it must be true blue through and through, according to the spirit of truth and the word of truth. A church is just a building unless it's filled by those who worship God in spirit and in truth. In Isaiah 51:1, you can turn there so you have something to do in case you're getting sleepy. I've never been more awake. I've been up since 4:30. Yeah. Does that mean I won't be tired this afternoon? Oh, yeah, I will be. Oh, Sunday afternoons. My dad always slept on Sunday afternoons. Did yours? He worked so hard. And I hardly work. But I'm still tired. It's just something about Sunday afternoon, especially if you turn golf on. Oh, it's so peaceful. Pastoral. And they go, he's on the 18th green. I wake up when the tournament's over and somebody's putting a green jacket on or some other getting some trophy. And I had a good little rest. So there's my prescription. If you have trouble sleeping, put golf on. There's no chance of Tiger Woods ever winning another tournament, so don't worry about that. I don't know if there is or not. I hope he repents. He's a Buddhist now. That was the wrong move. That was a worse move than what got him there, what brought him down. So I hear. That's just tabloid stuff. Don't quote me on it. Anyway, Isaiah 51:1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. See, the church is built with living stones. And that life is the life of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 66:1, turn over to there. Lord, I'm going to build something for you. I'm going to build you a house. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Jesus said, tear down this house and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He was the house of God, and so you are now. You're the tabernacle in which God dwells by his Spirit. All three members of the Trinity indwell you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And they'll never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. He says, for my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. But he who kills an ox is like one who slays a man, that is to prepare for sacrifice, like one who slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. How vile. He who offers a grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood. That's ritual without reality. That's not spirit and truth worship. That's singing endlessly in praise and worship services. He who burns incense is like the one who blesses an idol. As they have chosen their own ways, will worship, and their soul delights in their abominations. I didn't say abominations, I said abominations. Let us be genuine and therefore sought out and looked to by God the Father as true worshipers. That's the exhortation of Isaiah and the entire Word of God. Ever receiving grace from God, having something to worship him with, to serve him or to praise him for. Because it's reflective. It's reflected in your soul because you've meditated upon the Word of God and it has become the subject or object of your occupation. Jesus Christ has, and his word by his Spirit. In Hebrews 12:28, it says, wherefore, turn there, because we're probably finished with this. Fini. We're almost done. Hebrews 12:28. We have to have something to worship him with, something to serve him with, something to praise him for. It says, Dio, wherefore? Here we have ground for loyalty to Christ and for calm trust stability of mind and tranquility of soul, governed by peace and guided by truth. He says, wherefore we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And then he says, let us have grace. Let us keep on having it. Let us gather it up. Let us collect all the grace that we can. Let us keep on having gratitude, as we're exhorted over and over in the Colossians, that we may offer service, priestly service, latruo. Be not conformed to this world, but be transfigured. This is the will of God. This is your priestly service in of or pertaining to the word of God as you present your body, peristomy, publicly. You go to church so that you can be edified. He says, which is well-pleasing, eucharistos. Not eucharistos, yes it is. No, it's eurestos, that's what it is. Well-pleasing. Then he says, with fear, with reverence and awe. With fear, reverence and awe. Dios is apprehension of danger. Like if you were in the forest and when you heard the voice or the steps of a beast coming, like a bear or something like that, a wild beast, are distinctly heard, and you see hear it coming closer and closer. And Dios becomes phobos when it's present before it gobbles you up. That's fear. That's the same fear we have for God, because our God is a consuming fire. Yes, he is. He'll take you out. His program is the only one in town. There is no other. And his program for the church, one and the same. I'm afraid some of us trifle with God, and he's so gracious he allows us to for a while. But we mustn't, because in the end, we'll wish we hadn't. When he doles out rewards, remember the reward of the inheritance, so that you may receive the reward of the inheritance in our passage in Colossians? And ours is withheld because we did not fear the Lord, humbly submit to his will. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, part of his plan, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, be obedient to your parents. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. In Psalm 19:9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there's what? Great reward. In case you didn't think that was true. See, in peace, there is a healthy fear that restrains our folly. I, for one, fear that after I preach to others, I'll be disapproved. This keeps me careful and mindful that I must follow the Lord and fulfill my calling and election. For I am a Christian ever before I'm a pastor, and I dare not be or become a stumbling block to others. See, some will be ashamed that they did not submit to God's word, and as a result, arrive without any real notice or fanfare, and have a restricted capacity for the blessings, rewards, and inheritance of eternity. Don't be one of those. Rather, be guided by peace. I forget even the name of my own message. You know what I mean. Let's see, where is it? OB. Guarded by peace and guided by truth. Let's pray. Thank you. If you would get ready, please, if I could have my ushers. Father, thank you for these things that are very, very important. May we see it, understand it. Father, thank you for the spirit of prayer that's come upon the local assembly. See the ladies praying in our coffee room before service. And Father, may we all have a spirit of prayer. We'll see that on Tuesday, how important it is to devote yourself to prayer and not forget, but to be aware and alert at all times and just spontaneously be ready to pray at any given moment. That is your priestly service also, to be an intercessor or a priest. Father, if we don't pray for certain people, who will? And you've given us the great privilege of doing so, even as Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us, that he might save us to the uttermost. Father, bless the offering also today, in the conclusion of this service, and in the day, the remaining hours of this day, until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.
If we could all stand.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange.